It may be that the gulfs will wash us down. It may be we shall touch the Happy Isles and see the great Achilles whom we knew. Though much is taken, much abides, and though we are not now that strength which in old days moved earth and heaven, that which we are, we are. One equal temper of heroic hearts, made weak by time and fate, but strong in will to strive, to seek, to find, and not to yield.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter. We shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
And there you go. And what can I say? One of the best bands that was ever, ELO and Confusion. So anyway, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the English Defence League, a radio show broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. English Defence League radio show, The Truth, and the voice of the EDL. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, the title of the show is the English Defence League radio show, Reset or Resist. And once again, I've got to thank Dave for the great slides and the script for this evening. So, let's go, Dave, big heads up there, brother. Welcome to the English Defence League radio show with your host, Jeff Jolly Spider Mitchell. And my wingman for this evening is Dave Yule Log Milner. Tonight we will be welcoming in the Christmas holiday season with items of interest and a bit of fun. As happy warriors, we will inform, speculate, and we might even have a chuckle along the way. The time of giving is here. And we will give you, our great listeners, the truth. No surrender, ever. And for those listening on the Unpleasant Blind Guy show page, a Merry Christmas. All that is necessary for evil to prevail is that good men do nothing. Of course, that was by the late, great Edmund Burke of 1770. How about that? Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. Let me underline that. Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. And, of course, that was by the late, great President John F. Kennedy. So without further ado, let me pass it over to my friend, my colleague from across the pond, Mr. Dave Agador Milner. Good evening, good afternoon, and welcome, Dave, to the show this evening, brother.
Thank you, Jeff. Good evening to everybody in the UK. Hello to everybody in the States and around the world, and of course, off Earth. If I sound a little weird tonight, well, I'm normally weird, but it's a little more weird because I'm having internet trouble, but we're going to try and make this show work and give you guys a bit of fun. It's a bit strange, Jeff, because I've been working so hard trying to stack up shows for the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com that by the time people hear the last part of this show, it'll be Christmas Eve. All right, so even though right now it's the 29th of November, the last bit of this show that you guys will hear on this page will be on at Christmas Eve. So we've got a few treats for you, at least one or two. And Jeff, before we begin, the name of the show is Reset or Resist. We're going to be talking about the quote-unquote Great Reset with some items that we have. But you have some insights on anti-lockdown initiatives and things going on in the UK right now, brother. If you'd like to open our show by talking about them.
As I say, yesterday I was watching very closely. There was a big anti-lockdown thing going on in London, and I was getting different feeds from different Facebook publishers who was doing their thing, like with their live feeds. And once again, Dave, and our great listeners out there, once again, the Metropolitan Police brutality was in force again. Sadly, I saw, and it's quite distressing to see an old age pensioner being pushed over by the police who didn't give a monkey's who was there, women, children, old people. This is how they are. They are thugs. They're all thugs. But something I did see yesterday, something which made me realize that we're coming it's been stepped up a bit. I see fear on the police. The ones that have been attacking, hurting people, I see fear in their faces yesterday because there was more people than them. Even though they tried to take people, and arresting people on Coaches Day for refusing to give their names. There was a video out there, it's probably gone viral, but they were arresting people for no reason but not giving their names. And you don't have to. Under law, you don't have to give them anything. You know, you say, sorry, are you arresting me for something? No, well, can you go away, please? You're arresting me. Anyway, this went on. They arrested quite a few on a coach that was going to the anti-lockdown demo yesterday. But I see, after such a long time of the brutality of these thugs, I see some fear returning in their face. I see panic. I see them clumped together, not knowing what way to do it, and swinging their truncheons or their batons wildly. And I did make a comment. I put it on Facebook, what I saw, because I was really angry. I see, Dave, also I see a man, quite an elderly man, who'd lost his business through this lockdown crap. He lost his business, a broken man, being arrested in tears. And any of your listeners out there, just think what that poor man, and just think of the suicides that's going on across the globe with all this crap. Think about it, ladies and gentlemen, and I do constantly. But I did make an observation, and I did put it on Facebook yesterday. So, Dave, shall I read this out to the listeners out there? By the way, we've got a gentleman, or a lady possibly, in the chat room called Dex Shepherd. So a big shout out to you. Thanks for joining us in the chat this evening. So shall I go ahead, Dave, and read what I was going to say? Yeah.
Well, Jeff, it's, your show and your report. So,
okay.
Yeah, go right ahead, man.
Okay, thank you, Dave. This is after I've been watching quite a few live feeds, and I made an observation and a statement at the same time, like I nearly always do when these things happen. And I open saying, there always comes a time when the people will refuse to comply and will uprise. It's human nature. Most good people realise when things are so bad and enforcers are attacking innocent people, knocking old pensioners over, that this is the time to stand and be counted. This time has come many times in our history. Be brave, be bold and courageous. It's what your ancestors would have expected from you all. No surrender ever. And God bless you all who fight for freedom. There you go, Dave. That's what I put out yesterday after watching what has unfolded. Back to you, bro.
Right. Well, yeah, it really does seem, Jeff, now that we see what's going on with the American election, that we see what's going on with the Wuhan virus camps that are popping up, these internment camps, that we see what's going on with the demonstrations against all of this. It's almost, Jeff, I thought about this the other day, it's almost as if it's 2019 all over again, and that's the very thing that these people pushing this quote-unquote great reset fear the most. Because as you heard in that interview that I had with Tanya Groff, people come to these anti-lockdown demonstrations, and it doesn't matter what part of the globe it is, they come to them, and they're from a wide spectrum of political parties. And by the way, I want to welcome the visitor to chat. They come from a wide spectrum of political parties. And that has the connotation of a united people. All right, united against these lockdowns and united against this tyranny. A united people is the one thing that these fascists fear the most. All right, they because when you bring people around an issue, Jeff, all right, then they're not in their little bubbles anymore. You know, a bubble for black people, a bubble for white people, a bubble for migrants, a bubble for gays. None of that happens. All right, it's just people coalescing around an issue and against what these people want. Okay, and guys, we're going to talk about that later, and have a great audio for you guys to listen to. And Jeff and I are going to break it down a bit as well in between. But first, guys, we always like to have a little bit of fun here, and since Christmas is coming up, all right, over here in the United States, the Christmas specials are already starting, and at the end of Thanksgiving, one of the ones that that aired over here on the Comedy Channel was one of the South Park Christmas specials from 1997. Now, I only bring this up because we've had in 2020, the year that just won't quit, the advent of what is known as Karens. Now, these are usually, okay, women in their 20s or 30s, they usually have a lot of time on their hands, and they're usually middle class, so to speak, all right? And they don't have anything better to do than to get up into everybody's business and do, well, Jeff, I don't know if you had this term in the UK, but what we used to call over here be busybody. The problem
we got the same thing.
Well, there you go. Yeah, it's an old term. But the bad thing about it now, guys, is that these individuals now have through the governments that we have a certain amount of power. Some of them, like some of the ones in Australia, are even armed and have a certain amount of police powers. And when I heard the following song, I thought about the fact that this song is basically about what could be called the first Karen, okay? And the first Karen is a character on the show South Park who has a kid named Kyle. Well, this song about her kind of sums up our feelings, certainly my feelings, about the Karens of today. All right, so I'd like to devote this little one-minute song here to the Karens of today. Tell them have a Merry Christmas and mind your own damn business. Check this out, guys. You're listening to the English Defense League Radio Show.
How about we sing, Kyle's Mom is a Stupid Bitch in D Minor. I told you not to call my mom a bitch, Carmen. A bitch is a bitch to all the boys and girls.
Shut up, Carmen!
Out of hell! Mr. Minky!
Monday she's a bitch, on Tuesday she's a bitch, and Wednesday through Saturday she's a bitch. Then on Sunday, just to be different, she's a super king, Kamehameha B-Dot.
Golly, that isn't very nice. I'd sure like to teach him a lesson.
Have you ever met my friend Cosmo? She's the biggest bitch in the whole wide world. She's a mean old bitch, and she has super hair. She's a bitch, 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 bitch.
From us to you, Karens, Merry Christmas. What do you think of that one, Jeff?
It was good, man. That had me chuckling along. Very good. How many years ago was that? 17, something like that.
1997. That would make it. That would make it 23 years ago, Jeff. Now.
Good grief.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Well, I just flies, I mean, isn't it? Well, yeah, the legend, if you get out and you say, like, it's 20-odd, is it really? Yeah, it's like a blink of an eye, isn't it, Dave? But I enjoyed that, and it was, let the good times roll, because they're the times that we used to love so much, shouldn't we? These were good times. They were good times.
Well, yeah, Jeff, and I don't think that anyone has a problem with someone being involved in politics. That isn't the question. It becomes a question, though, when a person like that, woman, man, whatever, all right, decides that they're going to try and tell other people how to live their lives and get up in their face. And we've seen that. You've seen it in the UK plenty of times. There's been numerous instances of this in the United States. All right, so this is not unusual. But, when I heard that song on late Thanksgiving night, I thought, you know what? Sheila Broblowski, which is that character's name, is a Karen. But, of course, back in 1997, we didn't really know what a Karen was, and the older people used to just call them busybodies. But anyway, I thought we'd dedicate that to to all the Karens out there, just to let you know what we think of you. Now, Jeff, if you don't have anything out of the chat, I think I'd like to begin the first of these Paul Watson audios, and we have two of them, and they're each around 16 minutes long.
Yeah, I just want to let you know, because he just said thanks for the welcome to the into the chat, and he goes on to say, that tune that you played there, Dave, that shit was funny. And he's laughing. There you go. He likes it, bruv. There you go. That's you, Dave.
Beautiful. Yeah, well, you know, we like to have started with our show's a little something light. Anyway. Okay, guys, now you've heard about little rumblings here and there about what they call the Great Reset. Now, to me, that just has always seemed to be like basically socialism, preparing all of us for serfdom and that sort of thing. And that was kind of confirmed. I'm going to go ahead, Jeff, with your permission, I'm going to go ahead and roll the first part of this. This is Paul Watson interviewing James Dellingpole. And if you guys have read Breitbart and other places, James Dellingpole is a familiar guy to you. And I think you're going to get some interesting stuff about this concerning this quote-unquote Great Reset. You ready for this, Jeff?
Yes, let's roll it, Dave. Thank you, mate.
All right. Guys, this is, like I said, it's going to be about 16 and a half minutes long. We have two of these. This will be part one. You're listening to the English Defense League Radio Show.
And we are back with another exciting installment of Newsmakers here with Summit.News with me, Paul Joseph Watson. And I'm joined by the host of Dellingpod Podcast on Apple, also London Calling Podcast, another excellent listen. The website is dellingpolworld.com. All these links will be in the description, as well as another title that he's assumed, which is President-elect, which is a title that several people have assumed over the past few days. And according to Donald Trump himself, Britain's best pollster. Maybe we'll get a chance to talk about that later in the interview. James Dellingpole, welcome.
Paul, it's so good to be on your show. It's a long time since I saw you. It's good to be back.
Good to have you. Appreciate it. Now, we're talking about the Great Reset, and you wrote this article for Breitbart, I think it was about 10 days ago now, but it was a big article. Title, Only Donald Trump Can Save Us from the Great Reset. Let's set the table here. We've talked about this many times on the show. What is the Great Reset? Who is behind it? And how will it impact our lives if, God forbid, it's implemented?
Yeah, the Great Reset sounds, if you don't know, if you've kind of half heard of it, it sounds like one of those tinfoil hat conspiracy theories that couldn't possibly be real. But to all those people who think that, I'd say it's not a conspiracy if they're telling you what they're doing. The Great Reset is the brainchild of a guy called Klaus Schwab. He looks like a Bond villain. He's a German or a Swiss in his H's now. He's bold and he talks in this slightly sinister German accent.
And he's like the Dr. guy Strangelove.
Who invented. He is like Dr. Strangelove. He's like Blofeld, actually. He needs to get himself a cat. If he hasn't got a furry Persian cat, he needs to get one sharpish, because it would be a good look for him. So this guy, many years ago, he founded this thing called the World Economic Forum, which we probably know better as Davos. And Davos is not some conspiracy theory. Davos, as we all know, because we see it in the newspapers and on our screens every year, is the place that the global elite fly to in order to discuss how we little people should live. It's sometimes been described as the place where billionaires go to lecture millionaires on how ordinary people should live. And Klaus Schwab is the guy who devised this whole enterprise. And it's been very successful. I mean, you know, even the president of the USA goes there. All the world leaders go there. They all appear on its panel. So it's not some kind of two-bit irrelevant organization. Davos is real, and so is the Great Reset real, because it is what Klaus Schwab, the guy behind Davos, talks about all the time and has been for years. I mean, it's not a new thing that sprung out of the air in 2020. Admittedly, this year he's decided to take advantage of the COVID-19 alleged pandemic by deploying that as an argument as to why the Great Reset is more urgent than ever. But he was talking about it in 2016. He was talking about it over the decades before. And what it is, basically, is another variation on the theme of the New World Order. It's a technocratic elite, an unelected technocratic elite, deciding how you and I should live our lives. It's about things like sustainability. In other words, forcing us to use expensive bat and bird killing renewable energy rather than cheap, abundant fossil fuel energy. In fact, if you want to go really far down the rabbit hole, Paul, you can talk about the whole concept of technocracy. Technocracy, ultimately, the game plan is to replace currencies, fiat or otherwise, with a world modeled and decided by these experts on the lines of energy. It's about energy rationing, but maybe that's too complicated to go. I mean, you know, we'd need all day to talk about that. But essentially, it is another way of unelected technocrats, bureaucrats, telling us what to do and taking over our lives.
And you talked about the energy aspect of it there. A key integral part of this agenda, from their own words, is the elimination of the car, the elimination of private property. In fact, in the article, you quoted them from 2016. As he said, this is not a 2020 COVID-19 plan. They've been planning this for years. World Economic Forum 2016, quote, "Welcome to the year 2030. Welcome to my city, or should I say our city. I don't own anything. I don't own a car. I don't own a house. I don't own any appliances or clothes." They're doing this in the name of, you know, the global redistribution of wealth, which has proved fantastically successful every time it's been tried in history, right? But it's in the name of alleviating poverty and fixing wealth inequality. Are they really planning to redistribute the wealth fairly, or is it once again about this concentration of power, this concentration of money into the hands of the few, which only actually serves to disenfranchise the masses and create this kind of new serf class on a neo-feudalist plantation, essentially?
I don't know why you're being so negative, Paul. I mean, imagine no possessions. It isn't hard to do.
there have always been, dream, right?
Throughout history, yeah, there have been useful idiots in our popular culture who've said, yeah, wouldn't it be great if nobody owned anything? Except, of course, John Lennon sang that song in a bloody enormous mansion with an enormous white grand piano. So one rule for him, another for everyone else. And it's interesting, isn't it, that thing you quoted from 2016, where this bright-eyed, what would he be, millennial, I suppose, talking about this golden future where he doesn't own anything, he doesn't have property. Well, hang on a second. If he doesn't own property, presumably this property is being rented out to him by somebody, So who does own this property? Who are these shadowy figures who are somehow exempt from this new ruling where you don't own property? How does that work out? Somebody is telling Porky Pies here, because it's clearly not going to be a world where nobody owns anything. Somebody's going to have all the concentrated power. And I would suspect it's going to be probably the billionaires who go to Davos. These people like, Bill Gates would be an obvious one. I imagine George Soros would be another. So all these disgusting people are going to get even more disgusting in the future. They're going to completely own our asses. And we're supposed to be grateful for it. Well, count me out of that utopian fantasy. It sounds like a nightmare to me.
But the way they're carrying this message through, James, is, you know, we've had numerous polls over the past couple of years that show alarmingly high levels of young people who support and endorse socialism and communism because they're not financially invested in society. You know, home ownership amongst millennials continues to fall. It has done for years and years and years. But again, that's because of the very same financial elite that's launching this great reset. They created the inflationary, debt-driven economic policies that created that vacuum in terms of millennials not being able to afford home ownership. And then you tie it into the whole COVID thing, which I want to do now. You know, we had a story yesterday. Ticketmaster announced that people would have to prove that they've been vaccinated. This sounds like something Alex Jones would say 10 years ago. Now it's happening once again. They would have to prove they would have been vaccinated with the COVID vaccine via an app before being allowed to buy concert tickets. We've got Uber refusing to provide service to people who don't wear masks. Now we've got advisors to the British government talking about handing out COVID-free bracelets to give permission to those who comply to go about their business. What does all this mean for those of us, James, who may not want to get the vaccine, may not want to wear the bracelet, may not want to comply? You know, is this going to be enforceable? Is it going to be feasible to enforce this if enough people in the United Kingdom and elsewhere don't comply?
Look, to put it another way, of course it's going to be enforceable unless enough of us resist. I mean, look, Ticketmaster will get away with this devilish plan to force us to take this potentially dangerous vaccine if we let them get away with it. If we go on buying tickets through Ticketmaster, then that's going to send a market signal. I mean, I believe in markets. I don't know about you. I think markets are the fairest way of allocating scarce resources. We'll never find a better one than markets. I mean, markets are not controlled by the government or shouldn't be. They're a free exchange of between two parties. If we do not send that signal to Ticketmaster, then Ticketmaster will own us. Ticketmaster will become part of that shadowy elite which is controlling our lives. We can resist at this point, but each day that goes by that we accept this stuff and we don't resist, each day that we carry on taking Ubers when they impose this ridiculous mask imposition on us, then we are going to be giving more power to these very, very dangerous people. So we have to start resisting now.
And I mean, as you make the point in your article, and I've read elsewhere, these people are the same people that launched the global warming scare back in the late 80s, early 90s. It's literally, in many cases, the same scientists advising our government on COVID-19 that wrote the fake, discredited IPCC reports. And in fact, this is a quote from the Club of Rome founder, which was an integral front for that global warming scaremongering agenda from back in 1993. This was Alexander King. He wrote the first global revolution. Talking about global warming, he stated, quote, "The common enemy of humanity is man. In searching for a new enemy to unite us, we came up with the idea that pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine, and the like would fit the bill," which sounds very similar in terms of identifying humanity itself as the enemy with, of course, the super spreaders of COVID. And in fact, Klaus Schwab's book, wherein he says it's not an existential threat. He's talking about COVID. It's not an existential threat. Mirrors almost directly the rhetoric of the Club of Rome when they were trying to sell humanity on giving up their freedoms to save the planet. And that makes sense, James, because it's the same people doing it, right? It's just a rebrand of the New World Order.
A lot of what's happened this year will have come as no surprise to those of us who have been following things like what used to be called the United Nations Agenda 21 and has now been rebranded Agenda 2030. That the MO, the modus operandi of the junk scientists pushing the coronavirus scare is exactly the same MO of the junk scientists pushing the fake scare about climate change. Climate change was a kind of handy pseudo-scientific excuse for transforming the world economy in the interests of this same shadowy elite. And it's not a conspiracy theory. I mean, when I wrote a book about this 10 years ago, a book called Watermelons, you know, green on the outside, red on the inside, I set out to answer the question, why, if global warming isn't really a problem, if mankind isn't contributing dangerously to global warming through his carbon dioxide emissions, then why would so many people, so many different sources claim that it is? Why would the scientists be saying this? Why would the NGOs be saying this? Why would politicians be going along with this? Why would businesses be going along with this? And the answer is that it's a kind of concatenation of shared interests. They all have a, it's not a conspiracy so much as a, it suits them all to aim for this goal, because ultimately what they want to do is gain more power over the rest of us. The climate change thing was just a convenient excuse, but then a better one came along in the form of COVID-19. And in a way, I think that what's happened this year, the way that people have often proved so credulous in the face of this, what is in fact just like a dose of bad flu, it's certainly no more no more fatal and deadly than, say, the Hong Kong flu of 1968, or even in the winter of 2017-2018, I think that the excess winter deaths in the United Kingdom were about 50,000. So, you know, about the same that has died of or with coronavirus. Well, we didn't shut down the economy in 2017-2018 to deal with the flu of that year. But what I'm saying is that people have bought into the government scientist scare story far too readily. And I think the reason for that is that they've been softened up over a period of decades. I mean, since, you could argue, at least the Rio Earth Summit of 1992. So that's 1992, was that 30 years ago almost. People have been bombarded with information about how the world is doomed, it's all our fault, we've got to end our ways, we've got to change our behavior, because the old normal cannot be allowed to exist anymore. We have to have a new normal. And people have been buying into this stuff because they're kind of used to the idea now that scientists know better than they do what to do. Scientists are experts. And of course, scientists are the same kind of technocrats that the people from the technocracy cult worship. Scientists apparently know better than anybody else, better than you or I, how we should spend our daily budget, how we should allocate our resources, what we should need in our daily lives, whether or not we need to fly, whether or not we need to drive, etc., etc. We have become sort of willing dupes of this technocratic elite. And I think that it's time that we started resisting.
Yeah, it certainly is. Welcome back to the English Fence League Radio Show, the host, Jeff Spider Missile. Jeff, what do you think about that, buddy?
Well, that's very, that was a very good insight and interesting, once again, a great conversation. This is a lot of people have been talking about over the last couple of years or so, isn't it? This great reset and things like that. That's what it keeps me pushing to your face all the time now, doesn't it, Dave? Well, none of us want no type of a reset. And, you know, anybody that does, you know, those people that see things in a different light than most common sense people do. That's quite obvious, Dave. But Dave, thanks for that. It was really interesting. I was really engaged with the great conversation with Paul and the other gentleman. Thanks, mate.
Well, you're welcome, Jeff. And before we bring in the caller here, area code 817, I just want to comment briefly on this. Now, Dellingpole talked about the fact that global warming was the first thing that people tried, the elites, let's call them that, tried to use to gain power over us, to make us let go of some of our freedoms and liberties and some of our capitalism and things of that nature in order to create a quote-unquote safer world. But it actually started, I would say, certainly over here, it actually started before that. All right, it started before that with, first of all, these big campaigns against drunk driving. Now, mind you, I'm not saying that people should drive drunk, but I am saying that setting up police roadblocks to check people to see whether or not they're drunk is an imposition on people's civil liberty. And that began happening soon after this big push to curb drunk driving happened. And before that, Jeff, it was smoking in public. Oh, your stinky cigarettes are threatening me with their secondhand smoke. So we have to adopt rules and regulations so that people can't smoke in public. They began nibbling away at this in the late 1970s and into the 80s. And now we're at this point where millions of dupes, people who look at CNN and the BBC and other news, Deutsche Welle and everything like that, are just buying into it because, as Dellingpole said, we're used to it. So, buddy, do you want to bring that caller in now?
Yeah, something I heard today. I know you're there, caller, and I'll bring you in a second. Something I heard today, and I had to make a comment. Someone's talking about a news thing. Where's the journalist, they said. And I made a comment, we have no journalist. All we have is left-wing activists. That's journalism now. That's the way we know it is, don't we, Dave? But I just want to comment because it was something that was part of my mind earlier. But, yeah, I'm going to bring this caller in, Dave, and see what interesting things are. We'll find from this caller what he wants to talk about. So without further ado, yes, you're live on the English Defence League radio show. Go ahead, caller. Good to have you here.
Yes, I'd like two curries and some chicken, please.
And then?
Is that...
and a Guinness stout.
Is that Ken? Or is that
no.
The underground professor? Because you sound similar.
No. It's the guy that wears a cowboy hat and actually has cattle.
Well, they're kind of interchangeable, though, Jeff.
Good
evening,
sir. How are
you? Let's face it, that they are kind of interchangeable. I mean, I've seen pictures of both of them, and I can't tell one from the other.
Yeah, me and BZ are like that now. Yeah, me and the Zeppelin are identical twins. Yeah. I just wanted to call and wish everybody a happy Advent, since this is the beginning of Advent.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I understand that there's like 20 or 30 people in England still Christian, so I thought I'd call and say that to y'all.
Well, yeah, there's quite a few of us, actually. Sadly, you know, the state of the country, they've been trying to take... God out of our country, and people like myself and many of us have been fighting against this because it's pure evil, isn't it? And we know, I mean,
right.
If you've got God in, you know, a Christian country, I was brought up in Christian and Jewish views and that, and as a family unit, it seems that the times we live now, that God has been taken out. They're trying to remove churches and build mosques in their place. It's people like ourselves that's standing up against it because it's a tyranny in itself, and that's where you lose the family values. Once you lose the good things that we was brought up with, myself and you and Dave and a lot of good people, then society seems to break down. Is your thinking very similar? Or
about no.
You?
All the problems arise after that, don't they? Same in America. Yeah, you took God out of the papers and the schools and the churches. God's not even allowed in churches in some places. So, they pretend, but he's not allowed.
Saying, I think it's upsetting for me as a Christian, and it annoys me at the same time that... especially in the United States, now they allow casinos to be open but want to close your churches. And we've got that similar type of thing over in the UK as well. And it becomes annoying, doesn't it, to most of us. But good point, though. But it's good to hear your voice, brother. You sound really chirpy tonight as well, brother.
I'm pretty good. Just got off of an Advent call with the preacher and a small group. We're going to do that for Advent, conference call every Sunday through Advent, and touch base and talk about God. And so that's kind of cool, especially since I'm housebound. But, I was thinking, England's the country that had all the crusades, and if you'd only had America to come and help you win that war too, then we wouldn't have this Muslim problem today.
You wasn't. When we had our crusade, brother, the United States wasn't there yet. You know what I'm saying? Because, of course, you're our brothers, you're our cousins. Of course we'd have asked you to join. And you'd have done a great job like you always do. I mean, that's myself, my country and the United States, when we're together, we'll take anybody on in the world and overcome it. We've done it time and time again. So, it's sad that you weren't, but we had to fight the battles ourselves back in the day, being the old crusaders. Yeah. We'd have loved your help.
Well,
there's
only way
the
only way we're defeated is internally. And I think England and America are both suffering very badly from domestic enemies right now.
Well, they are, but I don't want to interrupt Jeff, but there's a persecution against Christians that's going on worldwide, and the broaching of this subject made me think of a news story that I saw basically on the way in, and Nigeria is a country that is just wrecked with persecution of Christians, not just telling them they can't have a church, but burning their churches down and killing them. The headline is basically that 40 rice farmers in Nigeria were killed in cold blood by the Muslims there. And, of course, the fake stream media is calling them all extremists. But, of course, they're not extremists. They're just Muslims. And it is part and parcel with the war on Christianity now that some of the self-same people that Paul Watson and James Dellingpole are talking about are participating in. And I want to ask you a question, Prof. Would you like to sit in and listen to the second part of this Paul Watson interview with James Dellingpole about the quote-unquote Great Reset and add your comments afterwards if you got about 16 and a half minutes to spare?
Beautiful. Yeah, I can do that.
And Jeff, have we got anything else out of the chat room, brother?
No. Sitting here quietly enjoying the show, Beth Shepherd.
Okay.
Good to have you here as well. He might have left the conversation. He's saying he might have left the conversation, so he might have had the duck out. But never mind. It's good to a little bit of commentary out there as well. So back to you, Dave, and... and it's good to have you with us joining us tonight, Prof. It's always lovely to hear your voice, brother.
You may want to call back in, Jeff, because it's time to do that. And while you're doing that, I'll go ahead and roll. I'm going to go ahead and roll this, guys. This here is 16 and a half minutes long, and you guys know the drill. This is a conversation. held on the 14th of this month, by the way, between Paul Watson and James Dellingpole, concerning the quote-unquote Great Reset. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show with your host, Jeff Spider Mitchell, and our guest, Dr. Michael Jones, the Underground Professor. Deal.
Yeah, and you talked about that. You know, they had a better excuse and more people bought into it compared to global warming. And that's borne out by the polls. Of course, you have a disconnect whereby there are polls that say, for example, in the UK, only 18% of people are complying with self-isolation. And I believe that figure went even down more recently. But then you had another survey, which I've talked about many times. It didn't get much press attention. They did a survey in numerous major Western countries, and in the UK, and this was mirrored throughout the Western world, they found that the average Brit, this is the average Brit, thought 5 million people in the UK alone had died from coronavirus. Now, of course, the actual figure, and that includes the people with comorbidities who would have unfortunately died anyway in the weeks or months that followed, the actual figure is 50,000. So what does it say about the power of media hysteria, because that's the only thing I can imagine it's based on, that Brits literally think 100 times more people have died from COVID-19 than is actually the case?
Yeah. I sometimes refer to this year, Paul, as the perfect storm of stupid, because there have been so many currents leading up to this. It's like kind of... All the currents have joined up to meet like a sort of massive festering boil, which has finally burst in our faces. So you've got things like the junk science establishment, which I've already mentioned. You've got years of dumbing down of the education system under people like Tony Blair. You've got again, Tony Blair's fault, the creation of this university system whereby 50% of the youth population goes to uni to do their worthless degrees in kind of My Little Pony studies with advanced poi and windsurfing. And these kids come out of university thinking, well, hey, I went to uni, I'm really bright, I know my shit. And in fact, they really, really don't. They've got this half-baked ideas about how science works, and they think, yeah, trust the scientists. I listen to programs on Radio 4 every week on BBC Radio telling me that scientists are these really clever people. And then you have these kind of wacky BBC-approved scientists like, what's that, pouty-mouthed astronomer bloke, you know, who's got a northern accent. Exactly. And Brian Cox, he tells you that global warming's definitely happening, and he looks kind of sexy, and he's got big lips, and he used to be in a band called D-Ream. So hey, he's got youth credibility, looks, and he's got an astronomy degree or physics or something. So he must know what he's talking about if he says global warming is real. You see what I'm getting at? There's a sort of a combination of absolute ignorance and at the same time outrageous self-belief, outrageous false intellectual confidence, which leads people into thinking they know stuff which they simply don't. I'm sure if you asked a lot of people, they would tell you, for example, that you realize that even if you've had coronavirus, you can still get it again. Because apparently there have been about 3 cases in the entire world out of about, you know, God knows how many million where this has happened. And apparently the antibodies, you know, the antibodies don't last long. Well, these people don't know about T-cell immunity because they've been given this partial information by charlatans like Neil Ferguson, the guy from Imperial College, and the chief medical officer, Chris Whitless, who was at school with me, by the way. I mean, he was an absolute non-entity. He was going nowhere. And suddenly this guy from school, this boring guy from my school, who shouldn't be running a bath, let alone the country, this guy is now our chief medical officer, saying that unless we lock down more, we're all going to die. It's really, we are living in crazy times,
James, where these people are complete non-entities in school or university, sometimes get bullied and then have their revenge on society later on. Many such cases. Let's talk about the UK, though.
Don't blame me.
Yeah. Yesterday, I didn't
bully him at school, I promise.
All right, I believe you. Okay, so yesterday in the UK, 595 coronavirus deaths. Yesterday in Sweden, 10 coronavirus deaths. Now, of course, the population of the UK is 6 times higher, but that difference is still substantial. Now we have the situation where we're facing this second lockdown, and this is what they do time and time again. They get up in these government press conferences with all their fancy graphs, which then get pulled apart within hours by actual experts. They get up there and say, there are going to be 4,000 deaths per day if we don't do this lockdown, and then maybe we'll have another lockdown after that. There'll be 4,000 deaths a day. Then when it's below that number, which it always is, it was the previous occasion because the deaths were already falling before the first lockdown, they come out and say, oh, look, we were right. The lockdown worked. We didn't have 4,000 deaths per day. And maybe we'll let you go to the pub for another few weeks, and then we'll have another lockdown. How many rolling lockdowns are people going to tolerate? For example, before, as a couple of police chiefs predicted last week, we start to see really kind of intensified civil unrest. We've seen protests, massive protests in Germany. We've seen sporadic protests in the UK, in Manchester and other cities. They're talking about having police go into people's houses on Christmas Day to break up family gatherings. This is the problem the government has, James. They can only enforce the most draconian end of these coronavirus restrictions if they become way more police state in terms of activating the police to actually enforce them, which at the moment doesn't seem to be the case. Do you think the government's going to get way more draconian, or do they fear actual civil unrest and they're going to kind of have this system where it's not really being enforced at the moment?
It's a complicated one. Do you remember near the beginning of the lockdown, when Boris went on TV, and this was the time when he was still going through that phase where he kept reassuring us, and his spin doctors kept reassuring us how reluctant Boris was to do this because his natural instincts were libertarian, and Boris sort of made out, you know, I'm a lovely chap that you can really trust, and you can relate, I can relate to you. You're doing a splendid job, and it won't be long, and it's all very necessary. And we all sort of thought, well, you know, maybe this is necessary. But Boris said not long afterwards that he was surprised by how compliant the country was, how easy it was to get people to put themselves under house arrest, which I don't think it's ever happened before in history. I don't think ever that any government has told a healthy populace that they've got to stay at home, except to do their shopping for a period of, what was it? It was several weeks. I mean, it's never happened. And look how easily we obeyed. Now, I've noticed since that the government, that policing has got a lot more aggressive, not towards things like Black Lives Matter, not towards, I mean, you remember in Bristol, for example, it was perfectly possible for a mob to drag down a piece of the city's architecture, a statue that they didn't like, to drag it with ropes through the streets to the city's docks and dump it in the river. Well, I mean, that is an act of vandalism, regardless of whether or not you think that the statue of Edward Colston was a good thing or a bad thing. It is not up to mobs in broad daylight to pull down statues and drag them into the river. And yet they did this under the noses of an approving local police. We saw similar scenes, not quite dragged into the Thames, but we saw similar scenes in London with both Black Lives Matter and, of course, Extinction Rebellion. Extinction Rebellion closed down areas of London for days at a time. They closed down a bridge, didn't they? And one of the policemen sort of showed how down he was with the Extinction Rebellion protesters by showing his skateboarding skills. And, you know, it was clear that the police kind of thought it was amusing and charming that they could work hand in hand with Swampy and co.
Meanwhile, but they're grabbing women at anti-lockdown protests and throwing them down on the street and just getting away with it. And no
really,
one cares,
right? Really, scarily, scarily aggressive. So how do you explain these double standards? the government does not want its authority challenged on the subject of these draconian lockdowns, which does make you wonder, and it's a question we should all be asking every day, why are they doing this? Because the scientific evidence does not support what they're doing. I mean, you listen to one of my podcasts with Mike Yeadon, Dr. Mike Yeadon. Mike was worked in the pharmaceuticals industry for 30 years. He specializes in respiratory infections. That was what his doctoral training was in. He tells us, look, we've pretty much got herd immunity already, that our T cell immunity from previous coronaviruses, from SARS-1, has given maybe 30% of the population a natural immunity. Another chunk of the population has acquired that immunity by being exposed to COVID. I mean, I've had coronavirus. I've presumably got definitely got the immunity now. Children are immune anyway, but to all intents and purposes. So only a fraction of the population now is vulnerable. And yet we've got the government and their very dodgy advisors insisting that no, we're still all in danger. More must be done. There must be more draconian measures. It can't end. That's very scary when junk science is being enforced by an aggressive police. That, I mean, it's a form of scientific, well, junk scientific tyranny that's being imposed on us, isn't it?
Yeah, and a few days ago you had another, on the back of the great Barrington Declaration, you had another, 500 top expert scientists come out and say, Boris, you need to reverse course. And just time and time again, they ignore them. The only conclusion you can make is that they're marching to the tune of a higher power, and that higher power is the Great Reset, is this globalist agenda. Final question, though, James, because I know you've got to get off, but we talked about on the show few days ago, this archbishop, and indeed you mentioned this in your article, bringing it back to your Breitbart article, this is Carlo Maria Vigano, and this is not some obscure figure. This guy was fundamental in exposing the sexual abuse scandal in the Catholic Church, other financial corruption. By the way, he called out Pope Francis to be a complete globalist sellout, which he is. He wrote this open letter to Trump, calling him the final garrison in stopping the Great Reset. He said, quote, this historical moment sees the forces of evil aligned in a battle without quarter against the forces of good. So from a broader perspective, outside of the agenda, the elite's lust for raw power, is it accurate to frame this whole scenario in this key integral time at the point of world history as more of a, in the words of the Archbishop, a spiritual battle?
Unquestionably, Paul, this is Armageddon. This is the final battle between good and evil, or certainly as far as this is our World War II, or anything you know, however you want to couch it. It is our epic struggle, and if we lose this one, our way of life is going to be changed forever for the worse. You know, we're going to be stuck in this new normal, which is going to be to none of our liking. And I do genuinely believe that Donald Trump is our only hope. This struggle is essentially between the nationalists, represented by Donald Trump and Bolsonaro and a few others, and the globalists. And it's not as though the globalists have been around with their particular technocratic philosophy, which is a kind of form of global fascism or communism, if you like. It's another totalitarian movement which turns us all into serfs. These people have been saying this stuff for a very, very long time, and it's slowly kind of seeped its way into our culture, often through local government particularly. But the fact that these people have been saying it for a long time and that it hasn't been introduced yet is not a sign that we should go, well, they don't really mean it. It's all toothless. It's all just a fantasy. All it means is that they haven't yet found a way of implementing it. Doesn't mean that there are not loads of people out there determined to do so. You know, Cristina Figueres from the United Nations, she's absolutely committed to doing this. We look at Boris Johnson, look at his pronouncements. Look at Joe Biden's pronouncement. Joe Biden made his campaign slogan, Build Back Better, which is the slogan of the New World Order, of the Great Reset. I mean, Klaus Schwab is constantly talking about Build Back Better. Boris Johnson uses it. Justin Trudeau uses it all the time. A lot of people in positions of power are completely on board with this Great Reset. So we shouldn't dismiss it as just kind of some wacky thing that a few weird people have mentioned on the internet, which can't be real. The Great Reset is real, and if we allow them to implement it, it will happen. So we have to take it seriously, and we have to resist now.
And of course, Biden's transition team is openly proposing a new lockdown in America. That transition team comprises stooges of arms dealers, lobbyists, and Wall Street bankers. So apparently that's the resistance that's going to save us from Trump. It's not over until the fat lady sings, though, as you point out in your article. But James, we're going to leave it there. But before we go, tell people how they can find your podcast and your work online.
Well, Paul, in all modesty, I have to say that my podcast is about the best in the world. It's got conversations with amazingly interesting people, and of course, it is not part of the Great Reset. It's the resistance. You can find it on my website, which is, there are links to it at delingpoleworld.com. I'm spelled DELINGPOLE, not with any more L's than that. Delingpoleworld.com. You can find me on YouTube. You can support me on Patreon or Subscribestar. And I'm on Apple. Yeah, the Delling Pod, it's called. DELINGPOD. And I hope you'll listen to it. I think you'll like it.
Okay, we're going to leave it there. All those links will be in the description below. But for the time being, James Dellingpole, thanks for joining us today. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Paul.
And in all modesty, may I say that you are listening. And welcome back to the English Defense League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Spider Mitchell, and a guest, the underground professor himself, Dr. Michael Jones. Jeff,
hey.
What do you think, buddy?
I thought it was really intriguing and interesting. A lot of substance, things that, you know, my ears pricked up to certain things that were said. I'll probably listen back on that later because I did enjoy it, and I did enjoy listening to what the gentleman was talking about as well. It was very good. And Paul, as usual, was bang on with all that he had to say as well. Once again, Dave, thanks for sorting that out, man. It was appreciated. Thank you. And with that, I'll pass it over to you, Prof. What do you think?
Well, I'm downloading the Dellen Poe podcast app right now. I like him. He's wrong, of course, about a few things, like having the best podcast when obviously he hasn't listened to us, right?
He done that tongue in cheek, I think, though, didn't he? Because Paul laughed as well.
Yes. Well, he hasn't encountered me in my old radio show. I had tens of listeners, and that's proof of the pudding that I had the best, you know, with my
well,
tens
you
of
go.
Listeners.
And I'll back you every time, Prof. You know that, brother.
who was he? He imitated a voice that sounded like Churchill to me more than it did somebody else. I can't remember who he was imitating, though. Brutus or something like that?
I'm trying to think who he was trying to be. It was very good. No, he was trying to do a Boris Johnson. Chappy fellow. That's who he was trying to do. He was doing a good job.
Sounded like a jolly, old, crotchety British guy to me. You know, it's like Churchill with a cigar in his mouth.
Well, so does Johnson. He sounds like that, though, doesn't he, real life? A blithering idiot, old chap.
But they all try to imitate Churchill. It's just too bad they don't act like him.
Yeah. Right. That's the thing. He's no Churchill, is he? The Great Reset. I like that. I think we should promote the Great Reset ourselves. Reset back to the Constitution. Reset back to the Magna Carta.
Yes.
You know, get government out of our hair. That was the whole deal about setting up Parliament, was to reduce the amount of effect government had in our lives from the king. And now look at it. And we had a revolution over things like taxation without representation. Now we have representation, and look at our taxation. I think we'd be better off still with the Brits. Our taxes would have been lower. So, but it's time for a reset, but to go reset back to the ideas of natural government, and that is the government of God and His rights that He's given us, like the right to defense and the right to religion and the right to speech. Those rights don't come from our Constitution or the Magna Carta or Miss Payne or Edmund Burke. They come from God. And these doctrines only, right. And they just ratify that. And we've forgotten that as a people. The scariest thing that those two guys said was the amount of people in England, and that is followed by America, trust me, that self-incarcerated their families by, because of their fear of COVID. And the Black Plague was much worse than COVID. And, half of the population was wiped out in the world during the Black Plague. But even then, with 50% of the world dying, we didn't have government intrusion like we do here with a super flu. So
it's just out of control now, isn't it? That type of government that Biden wants to put forth is the same old of what you had with Obama. It seems like he's putting people, I don't think he will, I really don't. I think it's all going to come crashing down around them, or I don't really think they really know what's going on. They think that they're going to confuse people, but in the end, good will overcome the evil that they put out. I do believe in my heart and my soul, yeah. Professor and Dave, I believe so for your great country, brother.
Yeah, well, I'll say this, guys, the Kraken was released last Wednesday. I'm sorry, there must be a delay.
Okay, what was released last Wednesday?
The Kraken.
The Kraken. That is true, and that brings me to a point that I was going to make here. Now, they're going on and on about this Great Reset because they think that they can do it now. They think they can just rush it all in within a few years. All right, that we're going to flip from a world driven by capitalism and personal responsibility and property ownership over to the exact opposite, communism and government handouts and no one owning any property. They think they can do this now because they managed to steal the American election, and that was their biggest get. All right. If Jeff will tell you this, Prof, and listeners, there's a saying in the UK and other places that if America sneezes, the rest of the world catches a cold. So they think that by stealing this election, they can now do all the things that they've dreamed of. In other words, they can make it as if the American Revolution never was. And all of us listening, all the three of us, will be the new serfs. And they, being the Davos people and the tops of the political parties and people like that, will be a new aristocracy, and we will just have to abide by their edicts. And that is why we must resist. Okay, back over to you, Prof.
I think there's one comforting thing in what you just said, and that is this. When the reset happens, Jeff, you and I and others like us that have gone on radio and videos and podcasts and whatnot, we will all be rounded up and reconditioned, reset ourselves in rethink camps. So we won't even remember that we had freedom and stuff when we're all done. So we'll have a nice blissful ignorance the remainder of our lives. So that's comforting.
Yeah, that's something to think over, isn't it, Prof and Dave? That is where they, because they despise people like us because we tell our listeners the truth, and they hate the truth. They lie and lie and lie, don't they? But, sorry about that. I've got a frog in my throat. Sorry about that, bro.
I feel bad. I just sneezed, and now you're coughing and stuff. So maybe that's true about America sneezing.
Yeah, see, we give examples on this program here, people. We give examples on this program. We're not lying, and that's a great example of it. So it's got to be said, though, fellas, that Prof, before you came online, I was telling Jeff that given all of the anti-lockdown demonstrations that the globe is just seething with now, it's almost as if the elite's plans are failing. Now, I don't think they will in the short term. I think they will gain ultimate power in the short term, okay? But that writing was kind of on the wall in 2013 when I recorded The Way Back. And by the way, people, there is a link to that in the show page here at blogtalkradio.com. And I will be running the entire series, a big part of which has some good guests like the Underground Professor here. I'll be running that entire series it's pretty nice, after the first of the year at the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com. Because, guys, at this point, we no longer have years to prepare for the next republic, and we don't even have months. Right now, we have weeks, and by the time the show runs, it'll be down to a series of days. But I think that we can give to a future generation the building blocks they need to put together a better republic. And I would say to people from other nations who are listening to this podcast here that you can take those programs that you'll hear at the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com, and you can apply them to your own nation, be it a democracy or a republic, because in the end, it's really about self-rule. And that's the one thing that the elites hate, and it's the one thing that we have to bring back. Prof, your thoughts before we wind the show down, brother?
Well, Hitler once said that the tighter a tyrant squeezes his hand, the more of his enemies will slip through his fingers. And this is true. And the more draconian our governments are in enforcing the COVID lockdowns, et cetera, the more they will create people like us, and people will turn to us, and they will see that they're not alone. And I think protests are proof of that, and the world is changing. And it's kind of exciting to be here. What we need to do is to be there ready for these people to help lead them in a revolt and to, like I said earlier, reset our own governments. But remember, you said democracy. A democracy is two wolves and a lamb, and they're voting for what's for lunch. A republic is the lamb having a veto and fighting back. I believe that was a Thomas Jefferson quote.
That's the first time I've heard that saying, Professor. It's the words that I will savour and put on my back burner. That was absolutely awesome. Thank you very much for that. Before, I know we're coming down to nearly end, but I just got to, there was a comment that I made earlier. I've had another few comments from what I said, and this was going on further from what happened yesterday, Prof. You know, there was, once again, demonstrations. The demonstrations are growing stronger and stronger every week, but the enforcers are using draconian things against the people. And something I just want to follow up with, and I'll go on to say, and it will be more that they think they can get away with attacking and hurting people, the more they will continue. They need a massive wake-up call, and they will be treated just how they have treated the people. This will happen. There's an anger I have never witnessed before. Be ready, be prepared, and be safe, brothers and sisters. No surrender to tyranny. And actually, that was a call out to our brothers and sisters that's fighting across the world. This is a call out to them all. And with that, Dave, let me pass it back to you. And once again, Professor...
No surrender.
No surrender, brother, ever.
I just wanted to give the prof here, our resident Father Christmas, a heads up that this show, when I do get a chance to process it, will be at the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com, and this last portion will be taking place on Christmas Eve. So, prof, I will turn it over to you to give everybody a Christmas Eve message, and then I'll take it, do my finals, and Jeff can start the reindeer off to take us home.
Well, Merry Christmas. Happy Christmas to those in England. And may I say that Almighty God, to give us the grace to cast away the works of darkness that we are all standing in today, put the armor of light upon us. And in this time of mortal life, your Son, Jesus Christ, the child born to us and promised to come back to us in great humility, that when the last day he comes, his glorious majesty, to judge both living and dead, that we may rise to life immortal through him who reigns with us in the Holy Spirit, one God, and now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Amen. Christmas. Wonderful words. Thank you so much,
Merry
Professor.
Christmas, thank you, brother.
That was awesome.
You're welcome.
Since it is Christmas Eve when people are going to be listening to this, I'll spare people the usual advertising I do and just say that I want to say to the foot soldiers, angels, and all the freedom fighters out there, everybody who resists even a bit, everybody who refuses to wear a mask, everybody who refuses to social distance, everybody who refuses to buy into the panic porn about this Wuhan virus, everybody who refuses to bend the knee to tyranny, whether you're at a demo or not, you are one of God's warriors right now. You guys have heard the show. It's a struggle now between good and evil. This is the time. I want to say be prosperous. Be blessed. No surrender ever. Jeff, back to you, brother.
Oh, two awesome final thoughts from myself and the professor. Thank you, Dave, and God bless you both. And to all of our great listeners out there, you freedom fighters, you foot soldiers, you angels, because I know there's going to be return of the EDL in the not-too-distant future. It's time to come back. So call out to you all. It's your time now. But once again, Dave, once again, thank you so much. And to have the professor join us tonight, it's been a blessing. And Depp Shepherd, who joined us earlier on, thank you so much. So once again, Dave, thanks for the slides tonight as well and the script. It's been a pretty awesome script and that. It's been an awesome show tonight. So with that, from myself, from Dave, and of course, the professor who joined us, sat in the show with us. We do really appreciate it. For that, take care. Stay safe. God bless you all. And no surrender ever. With that, the guys are waiting. They're queuing up. Don't push me off my chair again. Here we go. Here we go, Dave.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Here's the day, a show of strength with your boys' brigade. I'm so happy and you're so fine. You want more money to call.
go. Well, and down to about 20 cent, you still spare that for a two tonight. Done it just in that. And of course, Charlie's just become rather animated just at the end of the show. But once again, I've got to thank yourself, Dave, and the professor joining us. That was awesome. It was a great. I've enjoyed the show tonight with both you great gentlemen as usual. So with that, without further ado, I just got to thank everybody out there, Mark, listening, wherever you're listening to us from, and we know you listen all over the world. We do, you know. The internet radio is massive. So once again, thank you all so much for tuning in and listening to the EDL. You're hearing my parrot in the background as well. She's very famous, by the way. So, without further ado, let me just say, this is the English Defence League radio show, signing off for tonight. But see you Thursday. Take care. Bye-bye.
Now, extras that help you navigate the new media world.
Conservative media done right. You're listening to the SHR Media Network.
From a public locker inside a dilapidated Long Island rail station comes a show designed to piss off liberals using truth, facts, and ridicule. The Lid Radio Show, featuring the conservative voice from the People's Republic of New York. The Lid himself, Jeff Dunitz. Tune in every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the SHR Media Network. Go to shrmedia.com. At Lid Radio, we fight for the truth, justice, and a good kosher T-bone. If you don't listen, Hillary Clinton might sneak into your bedroom in her house coat late at night and blame you for her election loss. It's the Lid Radio Show with Jeff Dunitz.
Hey, are you guys listening? This is Shannon. From Right Wave with Shannon and Mike in the AM on SHR Media. I know you've been wondering where we are and what's been going on. Well, folks, that's right, we're back. So please join us 7 to 9 a.m. Monday through Thursday on SHR Media, on Spreaker, iHeartRadio, and Spotify, and Facebook Live at 11 a.m. on Right Wave with Shannon and Mike in the AM at Facebook. You don't want to miss a minute. We've got lots of guests, lots of segments, and lots of interesting things. And let's face it, there's nowhere for you to go, so you might as well tune in. Again, Right Way with Shannon and Mike in the AM. We're back live on the air on SHR Media. 7 to 9 a.m. Monday through Thursday, audio and Facebook Live, audio and video. Yes, we are going to do video. Facebook Live, Right Way with Shannon and Mike in the AM. Hope to see you soon.
Broadcasting behind enemy lines in occupied California, a mere 2 miles from the state capital, the Bloviating Zeppelin's Berserk Bobcat Saloon Radio Show can be heard every Tuesday and Thursday night at 8 p.m. Pacific and 11 p.m. Eastern, only on the SHR Media Network. Go to shrmedia.com to listen. You can also watch on the SHR Media Facebook page and the SHR Media YouTube channel. No goldfish were abused in the making of this ad.
Conservative media done right. You're listening to the SHR Media Network.
It is he that is me, bringing perspective from across the sea. Join me, Jack Alexander, 4 days a week for the Jack Alexander Experiment podcast, as I take a unique outsider's look at the news and issues affecting life and liberty here in the USA. I'll show you what the mainstream media refuses to. Politics, border security, defense, healthcare, travel, nothing is off limits. Catch the Jack Alexander Experiment podcast each Monday to Thursday on Facebook, YouTube, and everywhere good podcasts can be found. Also, check out the website, www.jackalexanderexperiment.com.
Southern Sense is conservative talk with Annie, the radio chick Eubellis as host and C.S. Bennett co-host. Informative, fun, irreverent, and politically incorrect. You never know where they'll go, but you'll love the journey. Annie is a top conservative host on Top Talk Radio and features some of the finest guests packed with important politicians and newsmakers. Listen every Friday, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern, noon to 3 Pacific, on the SHR Media Network. Remember, Southern Sense is common sense.
After 6 years covering terror and corruption, The Unpleasant Blind Guy is making a change. I'm Dave Milner. Join me on Spreaker and YouTube through SHR Media and on the Western Free Radio Network as I team up with Jeff Mitchell, host of the English Defense League radio show on blogtalkradio.com. Check show pages for airtimes. It's The Unpleasant Blind Guy
on EDL Radio.
There's
no surrender, ever.
Because truth is not always pleasant.
Conservative media done right. You're listening to the SHR Media Network.
It's your business diva here, Melanie Collette. I am inviting you to a front row seat as I discuss some of the most intriguing details of wealth and finance with today's movers and shakers in the world of business. Listen in and discover financial truths on a global, domestic, and household scale. Uncover topics that will impact your wallet today and in the future. Money Talk with Melanie airs Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. East, 2 p.m. West, right here on SHR Media and High Plains Pundit Talk Radio. You can't afford to miss it.
Conservative media done right. You're listening to the SHR Media Network.
The dream deferred is real. You've been waiting for the Exceptional Conservative Network, and now it's here. Go to the ExceptionalConservativeShow.com. Tune in and get the best in urban conservative talk. Stop dreaming. It's real.
WBN is proud to present the hosts from Sunday Long Live Radio.
Hey lovelies, this is Rhea from Sunday Long Live Radio from the World Broadcasting Network. You'll catch me live every Sunday of the year, 5 a.m. Eastern Standard, 10 a.m. UK for a few hours. I cover a lot of the chat that goes on, as well as covering lesser-known stories. Following me at midday is Joss the Boss, the people's poet.
Hi, everyone. This is Joss the Boss from the UK. Join me on Sunday Long Live Radio, live every Sunday of the year, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard or 12 p.m. GMT. I'll be covering news from the red pill side of life with a little bit of humour thrown in for good measure. See you there.
Following Joss is Based Amy, our resident activist.
Hi, everyone. This is Based Amy from the UK. Join me on Sunday Long Live Radio, live every Sunday of the year, 8 a.m. Eastern Standard or 1 o'clock GMT. I'll be covering Q stories, among other Patriot news you may want to know about. See you there.
Following Amy is Nan from Ireland.
Hi, this is Nan from Ireland. Join me on Sunday Long Live Radio every Sunday of the year, 9 a.m. Eastern Standard, 2 p.m. GMT. I'll be covering the news and joining some dots and looking at the bigger picture. Think how the West is changing, the influence of the UN, the NGOs, the WHO, etc. You know, that kind of thing. See you there.
Following Nan is Bull Rock from Canada.
This is Marty, also known as Bull Rock from Canada. Join me on Sunday Long Live Radio, live every Sunday of the year, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard or 3 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. I will be taking a look at news from a more objective and concise point of view, so if you like detail, this is the place to be.
Also joining Bull Rock is Ed the Bear from Canada.
Hi, everyone. This is Ed the Bear from Canada. Join me on Sunday Long Live Radio, live every Sunday of the year. We're on the air, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard or 3 p.m. GMT, which also happens to be Zulu time for those of you that are pilots. I'll be taking a look at the current news with Marty with a slightly discerning point of view. So if you like detail, this is the place to be.
There's your lineup for Sunday Long Live Radio, airing on the World Broadcasting Network every Sunday of the year, 5 a.m. Eastern Standard, 10 a.m. UK, 7 p.m. New South Wales. Just type in your browser WBN324 to tune in. We'll see you there.